Jesus. God, we thank you for being waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Oh God, you are light in darkness. God, you are the rose of Sharon. You are the fairest of 10,000. You are the bright and morning star, lily of the valley. Oh God, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. God, you are El Shaddai, Elohim. God, you are everything, the great I am. Oh, God, you are Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. God, but what I've been loving so much, the one who rides that white horse, whose name is faithful and true. God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being true for thousands of generations, oh, God, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, God, thou art the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. God, we just want to tell you thank you.
Thank you.
So, God, in these next few moments, God, I don't know how, I don't know what, I don't know what you want to do, but, God, I know that you're going to do it through me. God, I'm just being a vessel being used by you, not for my benefit, not for my glory, but for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. And, God, I thank you that you removed me out the way. And let your voice speak to the hearts of your people. Oh, God, those that are in the house and those that are watching virtually, God, meet the need. Touch my joy, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen that body, oh, God. Align that body with your word. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you in advance for the victory. Oh, God, because you have given it to us. And we bless you and we thank you. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The title, you all may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. The title for today is simply, Please Come Home.
All right.
That's it. Please Come Home. So, you know, one of the things, the ladies, we have a benefit over the fellas in many ways. But one in particular at the women's retreat, we learned about verse mapping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I be verse mapping at the job. I be verse mapping. I mean, it's just, you talking about taking your study to another level. Now, and really the whole thing with verse mapping is just to get to know the Lord more. It's not to show off and say, oh, look what I could look up. Look what I could research. No, it's just getting to know the Lord more. Seeing what's in there. And so I'm going to tell y'all, we're going to be in the book of Zechariah today. And we're going to be in quite a few scriptures. So pray with me and for me. But the key verse of today is out of Zechariah. That would be Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to call this section the invitation. We're going to read just verse 3 for a second. Therefore, say to them, the Jews of this day, thus said the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. It is the utterance of the Lord of hosts. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Return to me, and I'll return to you. The subject today is please come home. You know, it's understood, and I did a quick little research, and I was trying to see how the Lord wanted to take me. But I like watching shows that cause thought-provoking conversations. And Dateline and different shows that 60 Minutes and different things, they'll have oftentimes missing persons or a story about a cold case. And then I said, let me kind of look into what we're seeing about being missing. Folks who run away and the missing persons, those that are homeless and wayward and out. And some of the statistics that I found were quite interesting. It's now the national, there's a national average. Can you imagine there's a national average of missing people? There's a national average for for runaways. There's a nationally. It's not like a centralized location. It's not to one demographic. It's a problem nationwide. Okay. Not all, and I haven't even looked at global. Let's just look at the nation. So the state's missing persons report is about 5 per 100,000 people, which is the same national average of 4.4 persons per 100,000 of individuals. California, however, has also reported about 13 cases of those they make it to the amber of reports. So I kind of, here's what my heart is with missing. Those that run away from home and those that say, you know what, it's something better out there, right? Or maybe there's some that it might be missing around your own table. You know, they used to come to church with you, but they don't no more. They used to come over and hang out with mom and dad, but they don't do that. They're missing in action. And you know, this is a natural thing. This is just natural. But spiritually, we the same way. We stop fellowshipping with the Lord, communing with him. We stop reading our word. We stop going to church. We stop praying and putting him first. So we go missing. It's like heaven sends out a missing persons report. Got an amber alert. One of the sheep done went astray. If we look over in 2 Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it's more than likely not going to be on the screen, because listen, y'all, this stuff, everything didn't make the screen, okay? But 2 Timothy 4, and reading on the Amplified, he tells them, and these are some of the reasons that I can see why spiritually this happens, that it affects us naturally. He says, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenge them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Paul wrote that 2,000-ish, maybe 2,000 plus years ago. It's been a while. It was definitely in the AD. And here we are in 2023. And so it's interesting because, the subject today is just please come home. Because I believe that something happens to us spiritually that causes us to do some natural things that we normally wouldn't do.
Right.
When I become, let's just keep it natural for a second. If I stop going to the gym, if I stop working out, if I stop eating right, let me not use me. If Chucky, that's a better example. If Chucky, they're like, yes, Camille, we see it. Okay, so let's use Chucky and Lauren, amen. And Brother Tyrone, you got your muscles out today. We'll let you in on this. If they stop, if I didn't call your name, it's okay. You're with me, amen. If they stop working out, then when things come about where folks need you to hoist and lift up stuff, you might not be the person that they call. Right? It just might happen like that. Nobody is asking me to run a marathon. I just want to let y'all know. Ain't nobody have looked at me like, come on, you want to run a marathon? Nobody. No, and I'm great. Hallelujah. Because it comes to a point where, because if the routine of working out, eating right, doing well is ceased to happen, then oftentimes aches and illness and issues will come about and I won't be able to handle it because I haven't made that muscle. I haven't fortified that muscle, right? So spiritually, It's the same way. If I don't discipline myself to eat the word of God, if I don't discipline myself to drink from the well that never runs dry, if I don't discipline myself to fellowship around other believers at the gym called the sanctuary, if I don't do that, when life starts to life, because life will life, because that's what life is all about, I'll be deficient. But listen, the lesson on today, we're in Zechariah. But the way all of this is interconnected is because we too have been given the backstory. Let me go into this real quick, all right? So Zechariah, we're gonna come back to Zechariah in just a little bit. But let me just stop at verse 5 for a second. No, I'm going to go where I need to go. Let's talk about the backstory. The backstory here, we can find this in Exodus 34 and 14. So let me kind of let you know what's happening in Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the prophets around the 520 BC mark. And he was during the time that the children of Israel were coming out of captivity. That means they were in captivity if they were coming out, right? Okay. So during, and we're going to get into all this, but listen, it's so interesting. Zechariah, amongst so many other prophets, he got a chance. The Lord was showing him, and angels was right there would help to interpret a vision for him and letting him know, listen, God is calling his people back to repentance. God is calling them to listen, stop what you're doing and do what's right. The backstory really begins before Exodus, because I thought about that, because when God made heaven and earth, and then on the sixth day he made man, when he said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness, and he gave man dominion. But what he also gave to man was communion with God, access. So in reality, from the beginning of time, God has wanted us to have this togetherness with him. But sin is a dog. Sin is a dog. I mean, it messes you up real bad. It causes separation. It causes you to be out of fellowship. It's like when folks talk crazy to their parents. You know, I'm almost 40, okay? And I don't talk crazy to none of these two over here. Because even after almost 40, the reverence and the respect, you honor. That scripture got into me early on. Honor your mother and father that your days will be long. I said, I want to live. So I'll go ahead. Okay, Dad. Hey, me. You know, but I really do mean it, though. But listen, in Exodus, here's what is going in my mind. In Genesis, after God creates us, and gives us dominion, and we have communion with him, here comes sin. Sin enters the world. And the enemy has been trying to keep us separated of God ever since. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Now, from Genesis chapter 2, actually Genesis 3, to what we see in Genesis 6 regarding how God begin to regret that he made mankind. How bad were we? How bad are we? That he regretted? King James Version said he repented. Where God said, that's deep. So he sends the flood over the face of the deep, over the world. The whole world gets flooded out. Noah and his family is saved. There's now a refresh, a restart. We see that in Genesis 9. But what did you know? We get a little bit further down in Genesis. Here come good old Sodom and Gomorrah again. Wickedness. It's like we just can't help ourselves. You know, the one songwriter said, you can't keep running in and out of my life. Sometimes I feel like that's what the Lord probably be up there like. I like that song. Can't keep running in and out of my life. I like that. But there is going to come a time where we can't keep running. We can't keep saying, yes, Lord, and then, Who? I don't know that one. There's going to come a time where the door will be closed. Just like the door closed for those that was scratching at the ark. There's going to come a closure one day that if you're not in the ark of safety with Christ our Lord, you ain't making it in. Okay. Anywho, so he tells Moses to tell the people in Exodus 34, as he gives us the Ten Commandments, he said, "For you shall worship no other God for the Lord, whose name is jealous." Elkanah, as they say in the Greek, in Hebrew, is a jealous, impassioned God. So the backstory is, from the beginning, and even what we see in Exodus, the command has went out, don't you put nobody before him. But what happens? Let's keep reading. We get to Deuteronomy. Just a few, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Just two and a half books later, here come Deuteronomy. And we still, God is still saying, listen, I got to give you some, I'm going to tell you what is good if you obey. If you obey, check out Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. He talks about the blessings that will overtake you if you obey. But let's look at warning and consequences, because this is all leading up to Zechariah, y'all, and even to us today. He says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commands and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Okay. Given context, because this is the backstory. Now we're in the warning and the consequences, how we get to Zechariah and even in today. Moses was the lawgiver. Joshua was his understudy. And you have to know that by the time we get to Zechariah, Hosea, and everybody, Nehemiah, they have already heard the stories. They've already read the scrolls of the prophets. They already know. But yet we still find ourselves doing the wrong thing. Right. All right. Fast forwarding. I do want to jump down to 45. Still in chapter 28. All these curses, if you read from 15 all the way down to the end of Deuteronomy 28, you'll see the curses that he's talking about. Curses because with disobedience comes consequences. I thought about this yesterday, not yesterday, earlier this week. If we went to jail for everything that we did, I know, we probably wouldn't even be here today. Because, I mean, think about if the penalty, right? If the penalty was jail time for every sin, every time shortcoming, every time we fought, if the penalty was prison every time, if justice won out, if grace was not no longer available, what would our life? Because I think that's how we have to remember to have compassion on those who are imprisoned. They got caught. Some of us ain't got caught. Some of us, God said, you know what? I'm going to still deal with you in a different way. You just won't go that way. But we have to understand, if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy. So when he says all these curses shall come upon you, you shall pursue and shall pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. He said, listen, I'm telling you, this stuff will follow you. Right. If you don't yield and obey this, it will pursue. And this is where people get the term generational curses from. This is where people get kind of stuck in generation. But we got to remember, Christ became a curse. Hung on the tree for us. So with the curse and the penalty, that's all that's done away with. Amen. We have to understand that God, he did away with that. So now there could be generational bondage that folks still is hanging on to. But we ain't cursed, hallelujah. Because he set us free. He broke the power of sin. He said, you ain't got to hurry. I mean, over in Ezekiel, he said, no longer will the children's teeth be set on edge because of the fathers. God has broke it for us. When he says he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who buys us back. So, here's what I thought was interesting. Again, we're talking about the backstory, warnings and consequences, how we get to Zechariah. Also in Deuteronomy in 46, he lets us know, they shall be upon you a sign of warning in other nations and for a wonder upon your descendants forever. 47, he says, because you did not serve the Lord God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude for the abundance that he has blessed you. You know, there's some folks who ran away because they feel that they didn't get what they wanted at home. You got tired of Hamburger Helper. Now you eating out of trash bins. Mama and daddy told you no, they wasn't going to pay for college. So instead of you picking up your bootstraps and going, getting scholarship and doing different things, you decide, I'm going to leave all that. Now I'm going to sell drugs. Okay, that makes sense. They didn't say they wouldn't pay for all of your college. Maybe they just didn't mean that. Did you ask follow-up questions? Did you ask for clarity? Did you ask mom and daddy, are y'all okay? Maybe mom and daddy ain't got it. But we get so hung up on when we don't get what we want that we're no longer satisfied. We're no longer joyful at the abundance that God has given us an abundance. Listen, I have an abundance of clothes. I'm learning that every time I do laundry, the moment Mama Two, I think I done got it under control. Here comes six more piles, and I'm like, who lives here? It's just me. I got clothes in every closet of my house. What? But God has given us an abundance. And he says, listen, sometimes you'll get so ungrateful and the disobedience will show up in so many ways. And he says, listen, because you didn't serve the Lord, your God with joyfulness of mind and heart. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, let us never forget what the Lord has done for us. Amen. It's okay if you ain't driving the new car. Remember what the Lord has done for you. It's okay if the house don't look like you want it to look, but remember that you passed 17 people who was sleeping in tents. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Amen. See, what I do believe is what happened between what we see in Genesis all the way down to Zechariah, I believe folks got amnesia. Folks started tripping. Folks started comparing. Comparison is the thief of joy. The moment you start comparing, there goes your joy. Joy says, well, I got to stay here if you don't want me. No, you comparing what, you don't even know the cost of what it took for her to got what she got and get what she get. You don't know. All kind of bad verbiage using right now, like verb tenses. The English majors are upset everywhere. Here's the thing about Joshua. Now, mind you, Moses was the lawgiver. Joshua was his understudy. Moses didn't make it into the promised land. Got a chance to see it. God buried Moses. Now, that had to be one great funeral. I bet you they didn't hold long either. I bet that wasn't a long service. Had good music, though, I'm sure. Joshua, if you read Joshua chapter 1, it tells you there rose a generation that did not know God. So now Joshua is dealing with some of his contemporaries who are now parents and grandparents and even probably great-grands. And now he's dealing with the children of them who don't know God, didn't hear the story, wasn't encouraged to go to the temple for prayer, wasn't encouraged to, you know, man, when we started giving our children's choices without giving them further instruction and discipline, we set them up for failure. Ain't nothing worse than giving somebody freedom to do something and they don't know the bounds of freedom. They don't know the reason why you need to choose to be free. Man, okay. Let me stay with this. Now, therefore, reverently fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and Egypt and serve the Lord. Joshua said, and if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in those land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It comes to a point where you'd be like, hey, you know, we, and, okay, do what you, okay. But as for me and mine, we loving the Lord over here. I live alone. But I still say, as for me and my house. So if you come over, guess what? You in my house, and for me and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to honor the Lord. Amen? All right, let's keep moving. Jeremiah, listen, y'all. This is all of, a lot of scriptures, but we're going to get through it. We're almost done. Because this is the warning and the consequences. God told them, when you disobey, when you don't follow my commands, the curses that will overtake you. He said that. Okay? He made it very clear with 30 some odd verses of curses, which included being carted off to war, being in captivity. He told them what to expect. But guess what would happen? They still rebelled. God rose up Jeremiah the prophet, and Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, listen, I need you to tell my people. We always quote Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to get to that in a second. But let's look at 8 and 9 in the Message version. He says, yes, believe it or not, this is the message God of the angel, of the God of angel armies, Israel's God. Don't let these so-called preachers, know-it-alls, who are all over the place there, take you into their lies. Don't pay attention to the fantasies they keep coming up with to please you. Paul, we read already in 2 Timothy about itching ears. Itching ears ain't a new symptom. Folks have been wandering, chasing other doctrines all since sin entered the world. It was another doctrine that the enemy even spoke to Eve about in the garden.
Right.
So itching ear ain't a new issue. Sin is always an issue, but thanks be unto God. If you just come on to me, if you come spend time with me, you take me up in your heart, I'll give you the power to resist temptation. I'll give you the steadfast and unmovability that you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth good fruit in your season. Even your man, listen, I got plans for you.
Yes.
He was trying, Jeremiah, because you know what's so crazy? The kings was nervous. Now, if you have allowed your nation to be lawless and to be godless, why are you nervous now when trouble comes?
Right.
You brought it in your home.
Yeah.
You let it happen. You said, oh, you can have a little taste of that. That's okay. That won't kill you. Mama watching. And 20 years later, the baby an alcoholic, you trying to figure out what happened. Oh, no, it's okay. You know what? He didn't really put that back, Johnny. He didn't. And then he convicted of armed robbery. Oh, he don't have a temper. Said the six victims. Never. When we do things outside of the will of God, why are we surprised when the wrath of God, when the judgment of God, when the conviction of God comes in, what you surprised for? Okay, that's right, they didn't believe it. So Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah to give this to the people of Israel before they go into captivity. The king was looking for people to tell him something good. Before Shaka Khan wrote it, that's what the king was. He was like, please, somebody tell me something good. Tell me that God's going to deliver me. Tell me, please. And you had these false prophets. Oh, yeah, don't worry. They're going to take you down into captivity for 3 days. Don't you worry. Everything's going to be fine. And God's going to restore. Yeah. Pay me my money because I just gave you a prophetic word. You gave him a pathetic word that ain't going to matter, that ain't going to last. Because God told Jeremiah, let them know, don't you listen to them because they're a bunch of liars. They're preaching lies. They're claiming that I sent them and I never sent them. You better believe me. I'm God who's speaking. And here's what he said in verse 10 and 11. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as the Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day sooner. This is the Message Bible. This is so good. He says, listen, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Because if you read the beginning of 29, he says, y'all need to go and let your kids get married and have kids and grandkids. Y'all need to go and get you some houses. Yeah, you're going to be in captivity, but you can still prosper while you're bound. Don't be wiped off the face of earth. No. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. As long as this man's been alive, less 1 year. That's how long they was in captivity. Even the man in the back. That's right. Uncle Michael's 70, 71 now. But here's the promise. He says, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. He said, listen, not 69 days and 364. No, 70 years. You're going to be bound in captivity. But when that time expires, I'm going to bring you back. Why? Because he says that I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you hope in the future. Listen, so here we back with the invitation. Zechariah is the prophet to let the children of Israel coming out of exile. God is calling you to repentance. God is calling you back. Because believe it or not, even while they were in Babylonian captivity, even though some of them was crying out, how can we sing songs in a strange land? Oh, when we remember Zion. You wasn't thinking about Zion when you was up there laying with folks he told you not to lay with. You wasn't thinking about God when he told you to stay away from those women. He told you not to worship their gods, not to. And one translation says not to get involved in the sexual religious cults that they would do. Man, so here we are with the invitation. Therefore, say unto them, the Jews of this day, the Lord of hosts is saying, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. It is the utterance of the Lord of hosts. He's saying, listen, I need you to get back in communion and fellowship with me. I need us to be intimately involved with one another. I need to be the one that you wake up to and the one you go to sleep with. I need to be your thoughts throughout the day. I need to be the reason why you got joy in you. It's me, it's me, it's me. That's all God is saying. So let's talk about returning. To go back, come back again, return home. To go back in thought, practice, or condition. I thought about this as I was putting this together. We, in the technology world, sometimes you got to reset to factory settings.
Right.
Resetting to factory settings, we're born of a woman born a few days and full of trouble. We're born into sin and shape and iniquity, so we don't want to be reset to factory settings.
Right.
But we definitely want to be reset to the day when Jesus came into our life.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I'll teach transgressors their way. I'll teach sinners. I'll tell them how to repent. I'll show them that, man, when you've been out, you can still come back in.
Yeah.
Repenting, to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret and contrition. We sing the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. One understand. That when I need you to understand, God, I regret what I've done. I'm sorry for the disappointments that I made. I'm sorry that the times that I ruined my witness of who you are. The times that I acted as full Camille Rochelle and not as a child of God. God, I'm sorry. Insert your name there. Don't keep calling my name out. I already repented. Thank you. Don't need a proxy. Amen. But have we changed our heart and our mind? And listen, there's things that we might be struggling with in our life. I'm looking at a bunch of saved, blood-bought, redeemed faces. But every now and then, we still got a hang-up and a hold-up from back that we haven't let it go. That family member could still call our phone, and we just let it ring. Don't you answer? Hey, don't answer it. Let it go to voicemail. We ain't home. We not? Or we make sure, keep our eyes straight, you know, and you heard the Lord whisper into your heart, roll down your window, give this person some money. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. We're guilty of it. And repentance is not just for the unbeliever. Repentance is for all of us. We sin. We need to repent. The altar ain't just for the unsaved. It's for everybody. All right. So please come home. And here's some reasons why to come home. If you look at Luke 15, it's just the parable of lost. A lost coin, lost sheep, lost coin, then the prodigal son. But what's so great about Jesus when he spoke in these parables, he said, who, you shepherds out here, who wouldn't lose a sheep and then when you found it, wouldn't want to throw a big old party that you found it? Or the woman who lost her coins, right? I'm still looking for all the Benjamin Franklins that I know I have. I just don't know where I put them. I've checked the bank. They're not there. But I'm looking for them. And when I find them, oh, I'm going to call everybody and say, everything is good, guys. The party's still on. I found my missing hundreds. I know. You're right. That's a very good point. So glad. Thank you for sharing that. I'll work on that. As I have to bring that before the Lord, too. Lord, help me with that. Here's the thing that also interests me, because again, is please come home. When's the last time we really meant that when we said it to a child? Please come home. Regardless of how they treated you, what they might have stole from you, what they might have said to you. But have we been able to look at our children like the prodigal son's father looked at him? I know that's a hard one. Okay, I get it. Okay, I didn't birth children, but I sure enough got them in my life. And I can tell you that God helps us he helps our heart to understand they really don't know what they're doing. You need to have mercy and compassion and love for them. They don't know. They don't know. Just like you didn't know how much you was hurting me, Camille. But when the light turned on for you, when you cried out to me for help, did I turn you away? Did I say, no, I'm not home today, but I welcomed you in? He's still calling us to come home. Yes. He's saying, please, just, I went through this with the first set of folks. Then I went through it now with these folks. And I'm keep going. And I'm faithful throughout all these generations. But I need y'all to know that I'm a jealous God and my mercy and grace does run out. You don't know when it will. I do. You don't. But I need you to operate in a place where Paul even said, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Get to a place where you just, God, I just want to please you every day of my life. Even when it hurts, God, I want to say yes to you. Even when I know that I really could have the last say and I know I'm right, Lord, give me the ability, the strength, and the obedience to hear your voice and say I want to honor you in all of my ways. Luke 15, 17 through 24, read it when you have a chance, regarding the prodigal son. One of the things that I thought was interesting in this portion, when the father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. But in the very first portion of that verse 17, the scripture says, the young man came to himself. when we talk about please come home, both naturally and spiritually, naturally, there's probably some parents and children relationships that have been fractured and fissured through years of stuff. But we don't, the father didn't know what God was doing to the son way off while he was over there. The father said, my son is dead. He out there, but he kept looking anyway because he had hope that maybe my son will come back. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe he approached it with joy and glee. And I mean, when we have to understand that God is working in our children, even when we don't see it, we got to keep praying and looking to the Lord and saying, God, I know you're going to use them for your service. I know you called them to do great things for you. So don't give up. Spiritually so. For that family member, that loved one that's been prodigal, been backslidden, you name it. Unbelieving, unwilling to walk in the way of God. Don't give up on them. Because the Father is still looking. Make sure our hearts are ready to receive them when they come in. Don't be like the older sibling in this parable that got mad that the daddy threw a party. Got mad that folks were coming out to celebrate that he returned. Let's not, when they come into the house of the Lord, let's not get, oh, no, don't come sit over here by me. Wasn't you just in prison? Mm-mm. God has called them back. And if you keep reading Zechariah, he even tells Zechariah, I whistled for them, and they're coming. God is calling. I don't know if y'all been watching the news, but there's some folks who have been, I mean, Kat Von D, one of the gothic and macrame, very much into all of the satanic and witchcraft. She done gave her life to the Lord, got baptized. God has whistled for his people.
Yes.
He's calling. He's saying, come on home. It's stormy coming this way. There's war in Israel, y'all. Yeah. God is calling his people. But listen, that's the invitation. And I'm grateful that God is still calling us. And I will just close with this. When Jesus says, come to me, all of you. Regardless of your standards and your statutes and your background, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest.
Yes.
I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and meek and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and a blessed quiet for your soul.
Amen. Yes.
So all I just say to everyone today, please come home. Whoever might be watching, whether it's even in this year, you might be watching the replay on Facebook. Come, if you have wandered away from the Lord in any capacity, you have allowed yourself to be caught up in karma, And the burning sage and the things of this world, and you're trying to mix theologies and ideologies, and you got a little upset spiritual gut, and you're feeling defenseless, you're feeling like there's no hope. Come unto him. Come on home. He wants you back. Maybe you've been hurt in the house of the Lord. Maybe you've been wounded and offended by family members and friends. Or maybe you feel like nobody understands you. Jesus is still calling you to come home. God is holy. People are fallible. Read the Bible. You know that through and through. Come on home. You got hooked up with the wrong person, and that led you down, and guilt and shame has been the order of your day. But he says, listen, lay all that aside. Come to me. I'll clean you up. I'll take away the shame. I'll take away the guilt. And I'll give you a created heart, clean heart, and a renewed right spirit.
Amen.
I'll blot out all those transgressions from you.
Jesus.
His yoke is wholesome, useful, and good. And it's not harsh. hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant. And his burden is light and easy to be borne. Another reason to come home to the Lord, that is, there's going to come a day that this body got to step out. This soul that's housed in this body got to leave this earthly garment back. And I got to stand before my God. And I've been putting this hashtag on everything. Have you made your eternal reservation? Because it's not YOLO. You only live once. No, you got to live once on this side, and then you got to live somewhere else for eternity. That's another misconception of this world. But just like there's no place like mama's house, mom and daddy's house with home cooking, nice cooked meals and stuff, there's no place like the house of the Lord. Over in glory, where there's a river that runs through the city, that the trees there, the leaves are for the healing of nations, that the streets are paved with gold, there's no more sickness, sorrow, sadness, disease, no more ocean. Those who have died in the Lord are living forever with him. And then there's a feast that will go on, that will all the milk and no lactate needed. I not only do I want to go there, I'm going there. I'm going to the place where the wicked has ceased from troubling. Yeah. And the weary will have their rest. And all of the saints of the ages will stand on their feet and be, God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your word. So for the youth and young adults of 3Ps, yes, amen. God, when you gave us that name, because your promises are yes and amen. So I pray for Nene, Special, Dressy, and Adrian, Bilal, and Bailey. I pray for Sonia and Tavita, Megan and Maggie, and all the ones that came in after, Patrick, Caden, and praying for this younger generation that they won't grow like the generation that Joshua met that did not know you. But God, that they will choose you this day and they'll serve you. Thank you for bringing Lauren into the house of the Lord. Thank you for keeping her, oh God. God, you're calling. You whistled for your people. And you're bringing them in droves, oh God. And God, as you're yet calling those to answer the call, to repent and return from their wicked ways, to go back home, oh God, not if they can't go home naturally, they can come home spiritually to you, oh God. And they can abide in you, oh God. Oh God, won't you touch these generations? Nikki, oh God, and her brother, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, all the families that are represented in this church, God, you know them name by name. You know them heart by heart, those that are watching, oh God. God, as you told us, just you continue to appeal to us just to come to you. We ain't got to clean ourselves up to get to you. We come dirty, raggedy, wretched, and undone, and God, you clean us up. You create in us. You recreate. You make us new, oh God. And God, we thank you for the promise and the assurance that you've given us. The hope, oh God, and to the parents, oh God, of these young people, the grandparents, the great-grands, the godparents, those who are connected about these generations, and they're concerned for the children, concerned for their families. God, help them to be encouraged. That God, you're still making the appeal to them, and you want us to keep our hearts and minds ready, that when the call comes in for Angie and Naima and Imani, when the call comes in, oh God, for Sergio and his family, when the call comes in, Oh, God, that prison doors are being opened. God, that you'll bless us to reconvene in fellowship and unity with you. Oh, God, and we thank you. We bless you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. My God, what a blessing. What a message today. Praise the Lord. Please come home. You know, I was thinking about the songs. I had to look it up real quick. It's a long song, but it's called Lord, I'm Coming Home. The first three verses says, I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted my precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Coming home, coming home. See, and coming home now to Christ prepares us for going.